This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Most of us have it. Most of us use it. Some of us spray it in the gymnasium change room like no one else is around, and it smells everywhere. We grab it on autopilot in the morning and we move on with our day. But deodorant and antiperspirant aren't the same thing. And understanding the difference can explain why some products work brilliantly and others don't. I have that problem. I find some work and some don't. And they'll soon tell you when they don't. We're chatting with Daniel Eldridge, Senior Lecturer in Chemistry from Swinburne University. Daniel, it's so good to have you back on the show.
Oh, that's fantastic to be back. Thank you.
Let's talk about deodorant and antiperspirant. They get treated as the same thing. Are they the same?
No, they're not. And it really is that day-to-day language. We're so used to just saying, oh, I'll grab some deodorant rather than specifying which one we're talking about. But of course, the secret really is in the name. If you're reaching for an antiperspirant, you're reaching for a product that's designed to stop you from actually sweating. Whereas if you're reaching for a deodorant, you're saying, all right, look, I may or may not sweat, but I just want to make sure I don't get the odor associated with that.
So if I spray on an antiperspirant in the morning thinking that I won't get the odour, I'm wrong. I could get it still.
I don't know. On the kind of antiperspirants are designed to stop the sweat and in turn stop the odour. Perhaps the reason for the odour is a good place to start there. The reason we get the distinctive and unpleasant odour isn't actually our sweat itself. Our body releases a couple of different types of sweat, one that's particularly good at cooling us down, but another which is a more sort of oily, almost waxy type of substance that the bacteria on our skin feed on. And that's what's responsible for creating those awful odours that we're also desperately trying to avoid.
So it's the bacteria having a ball.
That's exactly right. It's the bacteria feeding on a particular type of sweat that we release.
Here's a question without nose. Is that our normal bacteria that's on our skin that lives there from day to day that's causing that?
Absolutely right. It is the normal bacteria in your skin. That population can change over time, but absolutely, it's just naturally there. It's healthy for it to be there. It's not a problem, but it does result in this unwanted side effect.
Do you know what? I reckon you could make millions out of this. You could sort of tailor make the bacteria to produce special smells. We could put it on our skin and we'd be done. That'd be it.
Well, don't tell me. Tell the patent office.
Now, what about people who say, you know what, I'm clean, I shower daily, so why do I still get body odour? What's the key piece of the puzzle that they're missing there?
Yeah, well, look, it really does come back to exactly what we've just said. They're absolutely clean and that's fine, so there's nothing on them which is personally creating the odour. But then as they sweat, and everybody sweats throughout the day, it's how we sort of, you know, help partially regulate our body temperature. But some of that sweat that's released is then food for the natural microbial population on our body, and therefore they consume it and produce those unwanted odours.
Daniel, Shane from Wodonga says, I cannot find an antiperspirant that both works and doesn't irritate my skin. Why is it that some of them are so irritating?
In terms of the, like, you know, medically what doesn't work, I'm sort of not going to pretend to give Shane that expert advice, but there are certainly plenty of reports of people saying, yes, I get irritated by this, or I'm just finding it's not working for, I've tried a variety of products and they don't work. There are some particular conditions that plenty of people have, which can be alleviated by just consulting an expert, just going to see a GP and saying, look, I'm not getting this, and they can look into whether or not you've got a particular condition that can be easily worked with.
How does the antiperspirant stop the sweat? What does it do?
Yeah, so all of these antiperspirant products, they tend to contain an aluminium or sometimes an aluminium and zirconium salt. And when we spray that onto our body, what it does is it combines with water and some other small molecules inside the very surface of the pores where the sweat comes out, and it creates a little temporary plug there that prevents the sweat from coming out of those pores. If that sweat doesn't come out, the bacteria don't feed on it, and therefore they don't produce that odour.
They're starving. Alex in Collingwood says, is there a reason some people smell way more when they're stressed? Do you know the answer to that one, or is that...
Right. So there absolutely is a stress response associated with the release of that that sort of waxy sweat that we were talking about before. So they're absolutely in very good company, and they're not the only ones suffering from that.
Daniel, when you say, "Oh, do I smell?" We automatically smell under our arms. Why do underarms behave so differently from the rest of the body when it comes to smell?
Well, I mean, first of all, thank goodness they do. If it was all over, it would be a real problem. Yeah. So look, there are two commonly discussed types of sweat glands on our bodies. They're eccrine and apocrine glands. It is the apocrine glands that produce this more waxy sweat that we are so interested in for this topic. And as mentioned, thankfully for us, they tend to be concentrated in just a few areas on the body, including the groin and most importantly to all of us, under the arms.
Now, let's talk about an antiperspirant that doesn't work. Yeah, is that usually about the formula or how we're using it? Because there's spray-ons and roll-ons, isn't there?
There are a few different ways of dispensing them, although both tend to be effective. If they're not working, there are a couple of common issues that come up. So, for example, if you apply it when you've still got water on your body after a shower, those active compounds can sort of dissolve in that excess moisture rather than getting to the pores where they're meant to. A lot of authorities actually recommend putting it on so it's got to be after you shower, but at night, so that it's got time to migrate to the pores and form those plugs. But at the very least, just making sure you're nice and dry before you put it on. That's certainly one of the big ones that people discuss as making a big difference. And the other thing that happens, of course, is that the bacteria on our body, that those populations do change over time. And so it might be that what works for a while might not work throughout your entire life.
Daniel, there's signs at my, I was just thinking I might use the hairdryer under my arms before I apply my deodorant, but there's signs at my gym saying hairdryers are for hair on head only.
The mind boggles.
Some people worry about blocking those sweat glands that you mentioned about. How do you respond to that concern in sort of everyday terms? What do we do?
I think there are two major things that come to mind. The first one, these plugs are temporary. They are normally gone within a day or two. They're washed out as part of your sort of normal health routine. So these plugs, they are forming right near the surface of the pores. They're not going deep into the body. And in terms, like some people get the idea that, oh, hang on, if I block my sweat pores, I won't be able to sweat. You have millions and millions of sweat pores on your body, so there's nothing to be concerned about there either.
If you're like me, yeah, they're everywhere, trust me.
Your body makes full use of them, yeah.
You can't escape. They find another one. We're chatting with Daniel Eldridge, Senior Lecturer in Chemistry from Swinburne University of Technology, about the difference between deodorant and antiperspirant and why it matters. Let's talk about natural deodorants. I've tried these in the past. Some of them have worked for a period of time, and then I found they stopped working with me, so I was probably not drying myself. What should people realistically expect when they make that switch to something that is aluminium-free?
Well, look, so if we're making the move to something aluminium-free, the first thing to understand is it means that you are almost certainly moving to a deodorant rather than an antiperspirant.
Right.
So that means that you are going to sweat. There's nothing to stop the mechanism of your body sweating. And it instead means that the product is going to rely on either absorbing the moisture or culling the microbial population or otherwise preventing you from sort of creating that odor or perhaps even just masking that odor with a fragrance. So we really are firmly in the deodorant territory there. In which case, if you're then comparing synthetic deodorants with natural alternatives, I mean, there are lots of products that we could have this conversation about. And that is that some natural replacements for products are amazing and some of them are not. And whether it's actually a good product or not usually doesn't have anything to do with whether it's natural or synthetic. It's more about what the deodorant is actually made of and whether it does the job, whether it's tolerated by our body. But yeah, I'm always keen to encourage people to think about the fact that natural doesn't necessarily mean safer. It doesn't mean we understand it better. it's just another option which has the same kinds of pros and cons to consider as with any other product.
I mean, I could say aluminium's a natural product, isn't it?
Well, ultimately, yes. We dig our aluminium compounds up from the ground and you know, build everything from there. So, yes, sooner or later, it's
natural.
It's all true. Yeah.
Daniel, as we age or go through our body hormonal changes, why might a once reliable product suddenly stop delivering its benefits?
Yeah, look, any of the aging population out there can comment. Our body does all kinds of cruel things to us as we age. I won't go through those now. The hormonal changes can mean that, you know, our body starts, you know, getting like hot flushes or unpredictable temperature changes, which means we produce more sweat and maybe the deodorant can't keep up. Or as we discussed before, over time, your skin, the microbiome, the population of bacteria on your skin can change, and therefore what they are or are not susceptible to, or, you know, what they will consume changes. And so, yeah, for all these reasons, it's not uncommon to get changes in, or, you know, our odor and the way that our antiperspirants and deodorants work as we get older. So, yeah, if your product has worked for a long time, but you don't think you're getting the results you're after, certainly worth a change just to see whether you get a better outcome.
Is it better to roll on or spray, or does it not make a difference?
I haven't sort of got any definitive evidence for one being better than the other. Every now and then, people are concerned about the propellant that comes out of the sprays, and so that's one component that's not there in the roll-on. I know that a lot of airlines don't like people taking on aerosols as well. So there are certainly some cases where the roll-on is more practical. But apart from that, less commonly reported as any functional differences.
Daniel, I hate it when you go into a public change room and someone, I feel like they spray the whole can on themselves.
Yeah.
You can't breathe.
It's a bit of overkill, isn't it? Yes, and nothing like that is necessary. I think there's probably just maybe a little insecurity about the matter, or maybe they like the perfume and the deodorant. I'm not sure what the case is there, but it's certainly above the recommended dose.
Just one more question, Sam in France. Is it bad to reapply deodorant multiple times a day, or is that okay?
So more than good or bad, I would simply say that it's usually unnecessary. And that, so if you've applied an antiperspirant and then you've started sweating and you've now got some of the heavy sort of waxier sweat on your skin, applying more deodorant isn't going to prevent that from being there. So, yeah, if you're worried that you're accumulating a bit of BO during the day, again, a deodorant spray might help mask that if that's the way it's intended to work. But if you're looking to remove the source, then washing is definitely the best way to go.
Daniel, I'll share something with you. I'm in a sealed radio studio by myself, and I was running late, so came straight from the gym.
Keep away. As long as you didn't do the... You didn't do the same thing on that 45-degree day, I hope.
No, not at all. Daniel, love our conversations. Always good to chat with you. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much again.
Thank you. That was Daniel Eldridge, Senior Lecturer in Chemistry from Swinburne University of Technology.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.